It is Thursday the 22nd of May, and this is episode 209 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello.
Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I'm very good. I think we should put the year in our podcast notes. We've been going for so long now that when I listen back to episodes, the date and month is just not enough. I could be listening to something from 2012.
It's Thursday, 22nd of May, 2014.
Hey.
And it's European Election Day. Vote Nigel Farage.
Yes, there's been some fun Twitter goings on about all that stuff.
Yeah, I must
hope everyone's been out and voted.
There's some sort of hashtag like why I voted.
Why I voted UKIP. And that got a little bit abused.
Why I voted for a racist.
Yes. So anyway, that's what's going on today. So that's I hope you got out to vote. Let's have a look at what else has been going on. In the news then. So Apple, Google, they've been showing some love to each other.
Finally.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air.
Do, 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 do. So, yes, they have worked an agreement between themselves, which basically gets rid of a lot of lawsuits that they had filed and counterfiled and internationally filed and internationally counterfiled and all those kind of things. So this gets rid of a lot of them. Although Apple hasn't let go of its Android patents. It's more about these Motorola patents that Google bought Motorola pretty much on the back of trying to get some of these underlying patents so they had some power behind it or some had some teeth behind it. But they've agreed that they're not going to progress these anymore and probably save a bit of money.
Save a lot of time and money. I mean, it's,
They must have already spent an absolute fortune.
Exactly, and I mean these are some of the suing that was going on against these patents then kicked off other, patent contests in Germany, and so overall there was about 20 pending actions between both of them, which have now been cancelled, which is good.
Yeah,
I want these companies to innovate, not spend their time fighting each other in the courts.
It's sort of step one along this route, but they were very clear to make out, this doesn't resolve everything. There's no cross-patenting agreement gone on here. It's just pure. They've come up with some sort of tentative agreement. They want to work to try and do a bit of patent reform on this. And probably because they're scared of third-party patent trolls as much as anything. And it's in their best interest. And it's in, Google's trying to sell off Motorola, so... it's obviously they don't want that company to be sold whilst under the cloud of all these lawsuits and things.
Yep. And as you mentioned, the patent reform, which would be good. And I know a few of the other big tech companies like Microsoft and IBM and Oracle were talking about, trying to do something as well. The weird one, so maybe it's not weird, Apple are still saying, we're still going after Samsung.
Yes.
Just because they blatantly copy. But it's weird because I know Google were kind of funding some of Samsung's battles because they were going after Android.
Well, it's Android that they're going after. It's just Samsung that happens to have, probably done the most to make their handsets look like the Apple stuff and sort of go along with that release schedule. Okay, so anyway, it's not there yet, but maybe this is the first sign of some better times. eBay has let one slip. They have come out this week and told us that they someone came and stole their database, their user database, basically. Stole all names, email addresses, phone numbers, physical addresses, date of births, pretty much everything you need to set up a bank account. They let slip out of their database, although they're telling us that they haven't let slip financial data. And passwords were encrypted. So they're encouraging everyone to change their passwords as a matter of course and a matter of urgency. And obviously they want you to change your address, name and date of birth as well, please. if at all possible.
This is like, so yes, and they say on it, like, oh, don't worry, you know, the password wasn't encrypted and we don't believe they're taken. And don't worry, financial data is safe. All it is your identity. That's all that's gone.
Because that's never caused anyone any problems.
And I in this one put 112 million, but seemingly it's 233 million customers that have been affected.
Right. Okay.
And I've not got an email. I don't know if you've got an email.
I've not seen one yet, no.
No. And I went on the eBay site and it didn't tell me to change the password either. And I was like, "What's this is a bit weird." Because usually when you jump on a site, when this has happened, the first thing that you do when you try and log in, it says you need to reset your password. And it's turned out today, I was just reading before we started, they've not, although they said reset the password yesterday and we're going to email all the customers yesterday, they're now saying actually we're kind of tweaking how we do our password reset process.
And right, so they're not confident in that either then.
No, once that's done, we'll tell people.
Okay, so maybe it was BBC jumping the gun because it's...
No, it was EB's initial release.
BBC jumping the gun.
Do this. It wasn't BBC. It was it was all over the place. Bit. Yeah, EB said, you know, reset. But
basically, manager said reset, and then the tech guys went, actually, let's just check that our reset is good.
Yeah.
We haven't done that for a while.
And I think the manager was holding a box with the internet written on it.
Is it red? Yes, so that's not a good sign. I mean, what all this is coming down to, obviously, companies spend and have to secure financial data with many more layers of security than they currently have to with user data. But it seems, and to date, no company has come out and actively admitted that they've had any kind of credit card information stolen. They've all, when we've had these things before, they've all said, oh, but your credit cards and all those kind of things are fine. So it's just going to come down to a situation whereby they have to try and that level of security, that level of audit trail, basically. They'll need to put that in place for the user data as well. Although, having said that, with all the big sites that we've seen being had data stolen, pretty much most active users of the internet have probably had their data taken by now.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many big sites that have been covered and cuffed. It's hard to believe that there's someone who's escaped all of that.
I think if you're a medium internet user, not a heavy one, but a medium one, or if you're a gamer, just because I'm thinking like Sony, Ubisoft, you know, those ones jump to mind as being hacked and all details gone. If somebody really wanted your details, you know, there's a few sites out there that are selling it. There's a few pirate sites out there that there's text files with allegedly lots of legitimate data on it. So
yeah, and this is an attack from February and March. So what else has happened in that time? And you know, eBay's
that was,
you know.
That was disappointing, but it felt like it was late February, early March, and you're like, that seems a while ago. But this wasn't an attack through eBay itself. It was one of the, I guess it was, but it was employee login details were compromised by hackers.
Mm.
So it was a kind of, and it's, and if you look at
so it could look like a legitimate someone taking a dump of a database or whatever, yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the kind of hackers turned security experts, they always say this is the best way in. This is the easiest way in. It's not trying to hack through systems. It's from
the inside, you know, working out. Yeah,
it's talking absolutely. it's talking to somebody posing as a colleague. Oh, I need to do this, and can you just give me your password, please? And yeah, sure, I'll help you.
Yep. Microsoft has had a small gathering in New York City, and they've announced the Surface Pro 3. This is ginormous, 12-inch tablet. And again, with the option to plug on a keyboard, so it's sort of halfway between a tablet and a laptop, and kind of trying to be both. Expensive, starting at $799, so somewhere around £600 starting price, going up to sort of £1,600. So this is a fair bit of cash. But it is kind of that PC hybrid that they're trying to say. It's a 3:2 aspect ratio, 2,000 pixels by just over 2,000 by just over or just under 1,500 pixels. So, and it's got 4K output support. So a pretty severe one, a pretty immense bit of kit, if that's what you're in the market for.
Yes. I mean 12 inches is bigger than normal. And But also, I think the spec wise, I mean, it's like the high end is an Intel i7, and it is a, I mean, it is a big price. I mean, UK price for that is £1,649. Considering that's you spend nearly 1,700 and you don't get the keyboard or the pen, which look to be pretty essential to actually
to turn it into the device it's supposed to be. Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, and Microsoft, it's kind of strange. Lots of people were tipping off this because this was like a small gathering, as you said, and lots of people were saying they were going to launch a kind of like a mini equivalent because their surfaces at the moment were all the same size. And it was this kind of choice between the Pro 2 or the RT. And it just looks like the RT's gone.
Yeah, I think they've decided that's, yeah, I think it is. They've put their money behind this. Don't buy a laptop and a tablet, buy a Windows Surface.
Absolutely. And there was some, they were trying to emphasize that by saying, you know, there's a Surface Pro and they had a set of scales and it was like, there's a MacBook Pro or the MacBook Air, which obviously was a lot heavier. And then they were like, but actually it's also replacing your tablet, and they added that on as well. So they were trying to definitely pitch it as a, this does both things.
So this weighs 1.76 pounds, which actually sounds, for the size of it looks in the hand on the, from the pictures, that is a pretty damn light thing.
But a 12-inch tablet, 800 grams is really good.
I wonder whether it'll give you third-degree burns if it's lying on your lap when it's got the i7 in it.
And it's interesting because they emphasise that the guy has got a Johnny Ive hard on, and he was talking about how they've revolutionised the fan inside, so it is, you know, thermally the most efficient, and you can't hear it, and it's all this kind of, you can't even feel it. They talked about how they've tried to distribute the weight evenly across the whole design, so it doesn't feel like one area. You know, if you held it at the top corner, the bottom corner, it doesn't feel, you know, awkward. And the other thing, remember the kickstand, the first one came out, was like one position. And we joked about it because at the time they said we've got one position and then the camera's at that angle. And it was like, that sucks. And you've fixed the camera for the kickstand. So if I'm holding it in the hand, I'd have to hold it at that angle or else I'm going to look weird. And the kickstand, I think the Pro 2 had two or three positions.
Yeah.
And this one is actually really, really, really nice. You can put it at any position and it holds, even when using the pen and putting pressure on. It looked
okay, that's
really,
clever
really
stuff.
Good.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, it was
because
really nice.
Because I have to say that there are lots of times when I've actually thought it would be nice for the iPad to now have some sort of adjustable kickstand, because, you know, when you've got that kind of the you know, the magnetic cover, it does obviously stand itself to a degree, but it doesn't, it's a fixed thing, and it's actually quite a sloped angle by the time, especially when your cover's knackered. It starts off and it's quite perky. Over time, it gets a little bit more droopy. But yeah, so actually I can see in a, you know, for a tablet, I can see a kickstand is a good idea now.
And the same, I can see the keyboard. I mean, I've picked up a keyboard for the iPad just because there was times when I was starting to use it more for, you know, taking notes or, you know, updating docs.
The iPad was not good for content entering is now gone. They've got the software now to go, you know, for content creation.
But it does. And I certainly have been. I have had lots of people saying, "Why don't you just buy a MacBook Air, a smaller MacBook Air? Just buy a 11-inch Air and be done with it. Stop trying to kid on at the tablet. The tablet is like, but then I really like the tablet for the times when I just want to read, and it doesn't need the keyboard. And it's that flexibility that the laptop just
the tablet
have.
Is still my most used device in the house.
Yeah, and I'm the same. It's you know, outside of doing this and, you know, updating some show notes and stuff, that's what I'll kick back and catch up on. It's what I'll read on. I'll read comics on it, except not through Comixology. And yep, can't let it lie. I've bought 4 styluses, styli, over the last sort of 4 years. I've never really found one that's been great. And again, Microsoft, so I think it's another. I think they just called it the pen. I think they were emphasising it's not a digital pen. It's just a pen.
Styluses all for me were more styli for me. It's got to be styluses. That'll do. for me, they're always in theory really nice things. But the fact is, just because you're drawing on an iPad with a stylus doesn't mean you're actually going to magically become a good drawer. You know, I know note taking and all that kind of stuff.
It's for what the guy was demoing, and certainly I've done it. Is see when you're just scribbling notes on a document, you know, like if you think of your PDF and you're just doing some highlighting, sure, and just some notes. Yeah. I do tend to use it for that. But not often. I'm not going to say it's like every day.
No, exactly. It's probably a lot less. When you make the purchasing decision, I bet your mind says, yeah, I'll use that all the time. And then when it comes down to it, you really don't.
The first stylus was more of a, let's give this a try.
Yeah. So they've also done things like they've been working on the friction of their touchpad on this keyboard thing, which, you know, that's one thing that every day I get knackered because of friction on touchpads. You know, really knackers me out. And they reckon they've also lowered the fatigue level of using the actual typing on this.
It sounds
arsey, but you know, it shows that they're thinking about it at least. But it sounds like they're up their own arses, which is, you know, maybe where they need to be. Maybe.
I don't know. There's two things that get me for this. One is it's Windows 8 driven, which is still. Yes. And maybe I'm not close enough to it. There still seems to be a lack of like big apps coming out that are touch driven. You know, there's no Office that's touch driven yet still. I still think, especially at that resolution, and fair enough, 12 inches, maybe it's okay, but it still feels like, you know, the apps are going to look a bit sucky on this.
Yeah, I still think there's a bit of momentum behind Microsoft at the moment, and I think this is part of that. And I think we will see quicker release cycles on things like touch products and stuff like that. So let's give them a bit of more chance. I mean, they've released so much in such a short space of time that, you know, we'll see.
No, and I do think this is definitely looks to be the best version yet. And the good thing, they've not just given up. Because obviously it didn't get a lot of traction.
No, but no, exactly. They could have thrown in the towel and they didn't.
Yeah.
Facebook is going to bring autoplay adverts, so video adverts, into their streams, and they're going to bring that over to the UK. They're saying starting some point in June, but they're kind of being a bit coy about how quickly they're going to roll this out, because I just want to get the quality right, apparently. Videos now do autoplay, so if someone posts up a video now in your stream, they do, when you're going down the page, autoplay. And they autoplay on silent, and it will be the same for the adverts. So they will be silent until you choose to listen to it. Obviously, you know, they are taking liberties with your bandwidth. And I think even autoplaying videos in my stream, I don't necessarily agree with. But, you know, this is the direction that Facebook are taking. They've got shareholders to look after. They need to keep it sustainable and make money. And this is the way they think they can do it.
And it's been, we talked about this before, it's been in the US for a while. So it's coming to UK next month. And I'm not as fussed as I used to be. No. I don't know if it's just because I'm seeing, now that I've seen other people's videos just playing, it's not, the sound's not there. Because I get a bit annoyed with, like, Instagram kind of turned it on, but the sound comes on with that. So you're scrolling through, and if you stop at one, it's just like, oh, that's just annoying. Especially if it's really loud and it's like a bit porny. And you're like, I don't want people to know that I'm watching that.
Has that happened to you in the office, Ian?
Anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're only going to show these adverts, you know, the autoplay video, if you're on Wi-Fi. So that's one good thing, I guess. And most people aren't going to be limited down. But slow connections might notice, you know, they're taking liberties with your connection, basically. But it is their platform to play with. They may do as they wish. Another kind of Facebook, what are you doing type thing came out this week. So this is Facebook wants to listen to your TV and your music. What's that about?
So basically, as you're using Facebook, and if you're listening to music or watching TV, and if you enable the feature, so there's lots of ands in there, if it hears a Game of Thrones theme tune, It will basically offer you the option to, do you want to tell your friends you're watching Game of Thrones? And then you can post it onto your wall or post it onto your stream.
Right.
And I've reassured everybody that you can turn it off at any time. The audio recording is not stored anywhere, and the device cannot identify background noise or conversations.
Yet.
And there's just that bit of me. It's like, I don't believe you.
Is this an auto on thing as well, or do you have to physically opt in?
I don't think they've clarified if you need to opt in or not. Because most of the things they do is a kind of, well, switched it on and you can opt out here in one of the 100 settings that are in there in Facebook.
We already know that Facebook have a shadow profile, and that shadow profile is massive, and it takes data from everywhere you can possibly think of that the Facebook land touches. And you don't know about that profile, but they know, and they link things together in the background that even when you haven't sort of given that permission, they will still go and do it. So I think there was a lot of things on address books getting uploaded automatically, and then in the background these shadow profiles would link all those together. So they're saying, okay, we're not storing your conversation or anything, but that bit of information that you're watching that TV show or you're listening to that, even if you don't choose to share it, you can be damn sure that that's gone and it's sat on your shadow profile.
Yep. Or on that graph that they talk about. So the big graph that's set in the background. You know,
and then one day if you just say, okay, show that information, suddenly all that old information that you didn't want to post up at the time, I bet you that's there. Yep. Because surely the analysis has to be sent somewhere to say, oh, that's the Game of Thrones music. They're not going to hold every single TV show locally on your pad to test against, are they?
Mm, yes.
So...
And it's all the stuff they can get from it. And it's like, I was thinking of it, and it's daft things like, so Chris is in the UK and he watches it at 9 o'clock, you know, every Monday. So chances are he's a Sky user, even if you're not like Sky, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He's watching it live. Or Chris has watched it at like, you know, 10 a.m. on Monday morning. He's in the UK. So he's a torrenter. but you know what I mean? It's the,
yeah.
It's just little subtle things. And I tried to dress it up by saying, you know, if it's a music thing that you share, you get a 30-second, your friends get a 30-second preview. If it's a TV show, they'll highlight which season and episode. I don't really care.
No, and maybe it's just not for us. And maybe this, we're in that time of our lives yet where we've had our kind of peak of what we like as technology, and we're starting to think that these sort of things are going beyond the pale. But maybe for the younger generation, this feels natural. Okay, let it know.
And I think you covered it, because if you look back at what they're saying, you know, you can turn it off at any time. The audio recording's not stored anywhere, but they don't talk about the actual fact that they're going to log that piece of data.
No, they don't say we're not going to log that information somewhere. No. But for shareholders, it's great. More and more information. We know that tying information together in Facebook is that, you know, Google seems to be the, you know, physical data, like mapping the world around us. Facebook is trying to map people and their interests and ideas, aren't they? So there we go. BT have been ordered to repair most faults within 2 days. I think this is coming from the fact that they're not BT basically have the job of Virus Openreach to deliver up the network that other people use and sell services on. So BT have now been told that they must fix faults within 80% of faults within 2 days. And they must put new line installations. They must do an appointment for a new line installation within 12 working days, which doesn't seem that quick, really.
No, I mean, because you think about it, that means that could be 2.5 weeks away.
Without a phone.
But then I thought fixing the fault within 2 working days was actually pretty ambitious.
Yes, now that, I mean, obviously, there's probably little sub things there. You have to attend and identify whether it can be fixed within 2 days. It's probably one of those kind of things that then the Ofcom would be happy with. But the Ofcom are clearly not happy with the situation as it now stands, and they have said that they will, if they don't start meeting these new guidelines within, it's 3 years, so it's quite a long time away, and then they're going to start being a bit more arsey.
So we'll see on, what will that be, episode 321, whether they've done it or something.
I can't wait. Hello 5, Guardians. They're apparently now not arriving till 2015, and the end of 2015 at that. So this is 343 Studios. Now, we were told at E3 that we would get some Halo fix within 2014, and they clearly thought this was going to be this latest version, but it's now slipped. They said they want a 3-year cycle to be able to deliver the game they want to deliver. There are rumours that they will meet the promise of Halo in 2014 by remastering all the old versions 1 to 4 and re-releasing them on Xbox One.
Boo.
What do you mean boo? Not like you'd play them.
No, it was more just the fact that obviously when Xbox One launched last year, they were like, yep, the Halo story continues, we'll continue the franchise next year. And they didn't, you know, and I think they did expect to release Halo 5 this year. And obviously they're not.
No, it's disappointing that it's the end of 2015. I mean, because it's a big thing for their Xbox sales as well, and it's, you know, that's a long time after release to have to wait.
And it's a big old AAA title. I mean, that is the biggest.
Yeah, that's what that's how they shift boxes, and they haven't got it. You know, having said that, if they need that time and they want that time, then fine. But they have to release something that's pretty radical. They said they're trying to work on that. You know, trying to release something that is a bit new and breaking. But they've you know, worrying things like they're going to go into the psychology of why Master Chief is actually fighting. What's the reason? What's my future? What's my past? Why am I doing this? Yeah, don't give a poo. It was a good game.
It was a great post which showed you how Halo 4's multiplayer tailed off dramatically numbers wise. I mean, me and Brian were still playing. I know you kind of gave up the ghost.
It went pretty quick for me that last one. I'm not even sure why.
And I've got to be honest, I actually still enjoyed it, but I certainly thought they were trying to catch up with COD and kind of make it more COD-y. And I didn't think it needed to be that. And it showed you, I mean, it was a really dramatic tail off, you know, compared to Halo 3, which was just a behemoth, and Halo 2 multiplayer as well. And the other thing that's weird, so the kind of HD remakes, I ain't fussed with the single player, but see if they did Halo 2 multiplayer.
Well, and surely that's what's going to be the hook in. Surely that's what they will do. They'd be stupid not to. But, mind you, Halo 2 multiplayer with the new Xbox One multiplayer features of Xbox Live is probably not a good thing.
No, but it's just some of the maps were fantastic, and they never released them.
No, I know they didn't. I mean, but there's probably a little bit of you know, pink rose tinted glasses.
No,
there definitely is. There is.
There's not.
Okay.
There's not.
Okay.
There's not.
Who are you trying to convince now?
I am interested, however, in that if they did remake these games, would it be one engine with all the games made in it? Because each of the multiplayer games were subtly different.
Yeah, so how are they going to make... Because they were all balanced, and they were obviously all balanced for their particular quirks and
you know, so would you end up with the four games, the four single-player games? You know,
is it going to be that COD effect pushed out... funneled in kind of thing, so yeah
so we did do the four games remade, and then like one multiplayer engine was just the maps, the different maps within it,
which is fine as long as they reckon they can balance it across. I mean, the thing is, they're for one disc, they're not going to be able to release all the maps they ever did, so it's never going to have the ones that you really want.
Of course they can,
you reckon?
Because
you have to
DVDs.
Remaster them all.
DVDs before, now it's Blu-ray.
No, I'm not talking about space, I'm talking about the effort. And whether it's even worth releasing a game that has got 100 levels in it. Why? What's the point?
But they won't. They'll release like 15 and then make you buy them again.
You know what you bought before? Let's do it again. Xbox One June updates have arrived, or they will be arriving in June, actually. Basically, this allows, or the two big headlines are external drive support, so long as it's USB 3 and over, is it 350 gigabytes?
As long as it's above 250 gig, but seemingly there's no upper limit. So, and I was looking, you can pick up four terabyte USB 3 drives for like £110.
Yes, because Major Nelson showed a picture, didn't he? Of it, you know, I've stored a lot of games here, and it had it's 4 terabytes free still. So yeah, quite clever. And you can have two drives, so you can have 8 terabytes if you want. For $200, that's pretty. So that solves all your, you know, that side of things. And they're going to have real names options, so you can show your real name across Xbox Live. You've got options to, if you want to show everyone your real name, or if you want to just show your friends or friends of friends, basically. That's designed to help the people who have gamer tags of X12444771 has sent you a friend request. And I never thought it was a problem, but apparently it was a requested thing. They're also you can have an auto sign-in profile, which is good.
It saw 2008.
Yeah, yes, yes. I know, but at least it's coming back. You know, it's exciting that it's back.
I know, but that's just because they've turned the Kinect off. Because what they said was the Kinect will auto detect you. That's a great feature, and now you're
which is fine
Xbox
up until
Kinect.
You had to lean to one side to get it to recognize you.
I used to wave. And then I would get really annoyed and wave angrily, and it would work.
And then, yeah, yes. Anyways, but so that's, you know, I can see that that's a good idea. And also in the UK, we're getting the TV One Guide app. So whether that will then kickstart the use of it again as a box that you can pump your TV through, don't know. But apparently we're now going to see have those TV options.
And I think I'll plug it in to try it, but I can't. I just can't see the big, ooh, that's going to make me want to watch that.
No, and I think you'll have to align things carefully because obviously it's got to start. I think is it Kinect that acts as the zapper for it? So my Kinect sits above my box. So how's that going to work, kind of thing?
Was it not some sort of infrared relay nonsense thing? I can't remember.
Anyway, by the by, it's you know, we're going to get the feature eventually, sort of, and we'll see how it. We'll review it when we get it.
You'll review it. I can't be asked.
Yeah, no, well, actually, I pumped it through last time and it was rubbish. So it's your turn. I can't be asked pushing all the cables around.
Yeah.
Anyway,
tell
there
you
what, go.
I'll just go and play my PS4.
and they've added in more smart glass functionality, basically. I'm going to get notifications. And I had a Twitter through that Titanfall's also released its latest update. I think it's today. I think that's dropping now. Few tweaks to a few bits and bobs. Nothing truly major, but trying to tweak things.
I might go and play it in 15 minutes and find out.
Okay. And that is the end of this week's news. No pick from me, you?
No, because we're over half an hour.
Yeah, again. We did say if we couldn't do this one within half an hour, then got no open. We've just gone over. All right, I will leave you with the fact that you can find out all about us and what we do at digitaloutbox.com. You can talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com, and you can Twitter and Skype us, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and you can find out about my racing and what I'm up to on that side of things, academyracer.co.uk. Ian?
My blog is iandee.net, and on Twitter as Schweepa.
Wunderbar, and we will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.